Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 150 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. We're going to go ahead and begin in entertainment with Jimmy Kimmel trashing network TV, a new tier of HBO Max, and the Epic versus Apple court battle wraps up for the judges' deliberations. And then we will move over into tech, where we'll discuss some latest in cryptocurrency news, some high-dollar NFTs, deepfake technology, cyber attacks, and some space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 150.
150. That's like some kind of milestone, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's an even number. So I guess that means something. That's generally how these things work. So yeah, even number, 150. Century and a half of episodes here at the Nerd Cantina Show. And I don't know, let's not celebrate too long. Let's just get into the news. And yeah, beginning in entertainment, I know you saw it. I don't know how many people saw it or saw, I guess, the headlines of it, of the Jimmy Kimmel kind of roasting that he did at a celebration of television, mind you.
Yeah, it's so fun to see people roasting like their boss, basically. Like, yeah. Like it reminds me of the press when they did the press luncheons for the White House. The correspondence dinner, you know, like, because they just shit on everyone. It's a roast. Like, it just becomes a roast. And basically, yeah, he went out trying to garner up advertisers for his station and just roasted all of network television.
Yeah, and I mean, it was you know, more than what I think is the standard kind of roast and cheap shots or whatever else. Like, no, he pretty much just made a long case on why network television is completely dying. Nobody should be spending their ad money there. It's a foolish business model in today's world, and they're on their way to complete extinction.
Some of these jokes, though, are just straight fire and savage. Like some of these jokes were great.
Yeah, he works for, what, ABC?
Yes.
So... Yeah, he falls in the ecosystem of ABC, the Disney, mouse. Hulu,
the mouse.
Everything, and definitely didn't pull any punches there. I guess, you know, half of what he's trashing is network television, so he's trashing the network side of it, right? He's trashing the ABC arm, but then isn't he kind of making a case for the rest of it, like the Hulu and the Disney Plus and everything else that company owns? So since they own everything, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I guess when monopolization's like that in the media, it's how do you make a joke and not include something that your bosses own?
But everybody should check it out. I haven't seen like a video of it. I was hoping that something would come out, like leaking the actual monologue he did. I haven't seen it, but let's we can move on from him roasting network television and talking about the future being streaming. And then here we are in streaming news. And we get some HBO Max new tiers of HBO Max. Now you can get HBO Max starting in June for $10 a month. But you're going to get ads. And you're also not going to get, you know, the simultaneous release movies like when Godzilla vs. Kong came out and Mortal Kombat and all those other movies that simultaneously released, you're not going to get those on the $10 a month tier.
So, but I'm assuming you get like all the other movies. So like, when do they decide when one of those movies goes on? Like, is it,
cause I think it's just anything that's not the simultaneous release. Cause then, you know, even like
Mortal Wonder Kombat Woman's then, back on.
Yeah, it's back on. So it's probably, you could probably watch that on the app. You know, it's after that period that it has its theatrical time.
So does this price point get you to think about joining the ranks of HBO Max subscribers?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Like this, maybe. Like you're like if they can get you to budge, like you're a tough walnut to crack, man. Like if you could throw that debit card down, then you know that's a sound purchase. Like I've made at least a handful of purchases in my life solely on the thing, just basis that you bought it. It's like, if they got my brother to spend a dollar, I need that in my life. I don't even, what is that? Some doodad? All right. Yeah, I'll take it. Like, I just, yeah. If they can get you to crack open your wallet, I'll buy one too, just on principle.
Yeah. I'm still probably not going to get it here. I just don't watch enough TV. So, you know, I kind of surge my way through these things. But the truth is, you know, next time I just absolutely want to watch something, a series on HBO, I might go with the $10 a month model.
Because you still get, bother me. You still get the TV shows, the John Oliver, yeah. like you still that's get the saying, release like of like their weekly shows, right?
Yeah. So that's what I said. Like, if there's some series that I want to watch, if I'm out of things that I want to watch on Netflix or Hulu, the ones I already have, and I would do the $10 a month tier. Like I said, the ads don't bother me. It gives me a break to scroll my phone for a minute or two. I've got Hulu with ads. It doesn't kill me.
Yeah, HBO doesn't have much to get you to come to the TV show. And right now, there hasn't. There's no, like, every Sunday night, people would just huddle around their HBO subscriptions for a long time with Game of Thrones and Westworld and a lot of these fire-ass shows. There's none of that going on right now.
Yeah, you know, I did watch, what was it, Raised by Wolves?
Meh.
It's the last one I watched. And yeah, same thing. I thought, entertaining, I guess, but ultimately not phenomenal.
Oddly enough, I have yet to watch that series finale. Like, I've gone all, I've watched every episode but the last episode. And every time I'm scrolling through something to watch, I'm just like, nah.
Nah. Not today.
Not today, buddy.
Yeah, I don't have a reason to pick up it right now. I'm probably still more likely going to pay again for the $15 a month tier at whatever the next big movie is that I don't feel like going to the theater for. I'll just sit at home and watch it with the wife on the couch and watch a new movie.
Yeah, I don't know what the next big one is. Probably Black Widow.
I mean, that's on HBO Max.
Isn't, or no, that'll go to Disney. So HBO, what is the next big HBO? You got Dune,
I
mean, coming?
Sure, I'll do Dune. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what else.
You got Suicide Squad. You got a couple of them coming, but those aren't till later on in the year. Yeah. I think you're good for a summer almost.
Yeah, I think so. Which is sad, right?
I know.
That means one of the major movie studios doesn't have anything
doesn't
big.
Doesn't have a chamber. Fast and Furious?
Nah.
No?
I don't think I've watched the last three of them.
It's about family, bro. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's move on. All right, what's next on the list here? Let's go with, I don't know if anybody's really been paying much attention. I've loosely been watching, reading some articles coming out of the days that they've been doing these, the Epic Games versus Apple, just marathon sessions of like closing arguments. I'm talking about like a week of closing arguments. It really wasn't much closing. It was just arguments that eventually ended. And the debates that were going on, some of it was entertaining as far as what was being written about and put out in articles. You know, there was a period of time that on the Epic Games side of it, like they were just playing like Candy Crush as a demonstration of mobile games inside a courtroom. Like this apparently goes as legal work.
Yeah, I know. Like billable hours. That's all this was about is billable hours. Like if you're some lawyer that can make $1,000 an hour playing Candy Crush, like how do you not take advantage of that?
I've not. And $1,000 an hour is cheap. You know, they're they're charging more than that to Epic. And Epic's sitting there thinking, like, this was the best case you can make for us here. Like, yeah. This is, you're bleeding us dry here on this. But, you know, there was some, this is still going to be a huge decision that the judge has no intention on making a decision
quickly. This is where it gets good. This is where it, like, the tension builds now, right? Like, because how he lands on this could shape the future of a lot of especially mobile gaming.
Yeah, and you know it really just comes down to how is the judge going to rule? How are they going to shape? You know what is the way that Apple is supposed to make money? Is controlling the iOS and controlling the having the only app store the only way to sideload or to bring in apps through the app store? Is that, you know, required for the safety? Because that's what Apple kept claiming, was that it was really needed for the safety of the Apple devices, that they had Apple Store control. And ultimately, you know, Apple also came out this week saying that they have an unacceptable amount of malware in their iOS coming through their app store, as they're not, you know, impervious to actually having malware installed through various apps in their system. You know, and Epic tried to make the claim that there's no reason to believe that there's going to be some significant flow of malware coming through a third party app store.
Yeah, So they've thrown a lot out at each other throughout this whole process, and it's hard to kind of speculate on where the judge will kind of like land on this. Like, I don't know.
I think Epic wins.
You really do?
I do. Just from, you know, it really comes down to the definitions of these things and how they frame it out, right? What is mobile gaming? What equals a monopoly? You know, a lot of what Apple tried to prove was that, okay, well, It's a mobile gaming platform, but you know, if you want to, this is how like Candy Crush came into it. If you want to play Candy Crush, well, you could play it through the app, which obviously we control all the purchases and everything that comes through that. But if you want to avoid us, you could just play it through your browser. And like they demonstrated that it just sucks. Like you just can't, like you can't argue that that's anywhere near the same, you know, service for the consumers if you go through the browser. And it, like, Apple's arguments against why this isn't a monopoly just failed. So it really just comes down to whether the judge is going to rule that, hey, Apple has complete ownership control and they can do whatever they want. Like, they own the machine, they own the software, and they can limit whoever they want in a non-competitive way because they own it. I don't think they're going to get that ruling. And Apple completely failed to show that there is any other mobile way to play. That, like, I think they were completely beat up in that regard. So unless the judge, for whatever reason, just says, ah, screw it, like, consumers don't deserve choices, they lose.
Well, and this is like a first shot then at breaking up these kinds of companies. Like, I haven't seen antitrust enforced in this country, I think, ever. So I don't know how they side on this, because once you start chipping away at this monopolistic behavior, like, there's so many other things that they're going to have to start tackling them, because you can't just single out Apple like this. And
so they can in this specific case, only because Apple is the only one that 100% controls this stuff. You know, again, with Google on Android devices, you could just sideload apps, download an installation file, and do it completely outside of an app store if you really wanted to. You could also download like the Amazon app store, and there's other app stores that you could download to your phone and access games. And that's what ultimately like Epic is trying to argue. Like, if Epic wants to make their own app store.
So this is just like, but the premise alone of, you're the only reasonable place I can go to do this, and you're limiting and using your own power to manipulate and make money. Like, that premise applies to Google. It applies to a handful of other these companies.
And in the past, it applied to Microsoft, and Microsoft lost. They had to open up, like, just because they owned the operating system, they had to open it up to other software developers and other things. So it's similar in that regard. Apple owns the ecosystem, but they can't, in a non-competitive way, bar everybody out of it.
Yeah, like, I just think this is, if they're going to tackle this, it just opens the door to tackle a lot of other monopolistic behavior that I don't see them going after. So I just don't have faith that they actually enforce anything here. I don't know. It's my pessimism, I guess.
I think that Epic has a good shot of winning, just because from everything I've been able to read, Epic made their case. As far as what they were trying to highlight, they made their case.
With a lot of these companies, it's a 5-year-old can make this case. You know, like, there's so many monopolies in this country, and so many, like, the whole Comcast and Time Warner scenarios. Like, you have, you know, the Google, the Facebooks, like, all these companies, they've been doing this behavior for a long time, and our government hasn't tried to do anything about it. And I just, like I said, I just don't know if this is the case that they actually get off their ass and do something about unfair behavior. I hope so. Like, I'm not rooting for Apple in by any means. I just don't have faith in this.
Yeah. Well, we can just keep moving along here.
Talk to another fun entity of our government.
I was going to say, that's a good transition out of entertainment/tech into just hard tech. And that takes us, yes, to some government regulation in the realm of cryptocurrency. We talked a fair amount about cryptocurrency last week with the whole Elon tweeting and the market tanking. And man, we were not at the bottom of that tank yet. No.
There was plenty of room to go down still. Plenty of room to go down still.
And, you know, so the time of this recording and anybody listening to it, you know, you're still licking your wounds and hoping that we're in that stable climb back up if you're into crypto here. And then, you know, part of while we were in the middle of the Elon tweeting and the dip, we also got news from the U.S. Treasury that said that, hey, they're going to obligate that any cryptocurrency transfers from any exchange over $10,000 is a mandatory reportable transfer to the IRS. I'm not mad about this.
So is this only when you convert your tokens back into cash, into U.S. dollars? So is this like when you go to the cage at the casino? Like you're only getting tax, like if you cash in $10,000 worth of chips, they file that shit with the taxes. If you cash out $9,999 and give a dollar chip to the bum on the street, you're all good. Uncle Sam don't need to know. You know, so is this the same thing, or you know, does converting tokens count? Like if you're converting Ethereum to Bitcoin and you do 20 grand of it at a time, like does that consider a sale? Like is that?
Yeah, so that's something that I think needs to be clarified is what equals that threshold? I'm sure that there's information out there as far as what the current law is. This doesn't actually change like what the current law is. It just forces the exchanges to disclose and report these big numbers. But realistically, like if you made $25 on Dogecoin last year, you should have reported that on your taxes.
Technically.
You know what I mean? Like
technically.
So, like the actual like capital gains. But that's
the thing, yeah. They're putting casino rules on crypto exchanges, is from what I'm kind of like taking from this.
Correct, but it's similar to other financial markets as well. There is a mandatory reportable.
Casinos is something everybody listening yes. can understand. Like,
It is. I think it's over $500 or whatever it is.
It's $10,000. Like if you hit the craps table for $7,000, you cash out those chips. They ain't saying shit to you. But if you win 15 grand at the craps table and you go and cash 15,000 at the cage, they file that shit with the taxes. You got to sign your name on a sheet. You got to do the whole fucking thing.
I thought it was a lower threshold than that. But
no, it's 10 G's. Maybe. That's right, why if you go to Vegas and you win 15 G's, you pay somebody a couple hundred dollars chips to cash chips for you. So you cash 7 and 8. And you don't pay them taxes. Life hack. Welcome to my TED Talk.
I don't live in that gambling up to 15K worth.
Because if you hit one of those big slots, there's no way to hide it because you got to cash in that ticket. So like if you hit a $20,000 slot machine, you're paying your taxes, and they give you the option to pay it right there or file at the end and blah blah blah. But yeah, this is like to me, this is exactly what they're trying to do to the exchanges. Like, hey, motherfucker, somebody cashes out 11 G's in crypto, you got to send us a letter with that dude's social and all that shiz. You know, so my thing is like, can I cash out 9,999 at 8 o'clock and then at 8:01 cash out 7 grand so I don't have, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
how are they going to work this? How are they,
I'm sure the exchanges are going to be intimately familiar on what the rules are. Ultimately, I still think that this is a good thing. It came as bad news or whatever else, but there's going to in order for this to ever become a reliable thing that's got mass adoption, it's got to hit some level of regulatory kind of treasury focus. It's going to have to get rolled into IRS code better. This is a part of the process. So this wasn't bad news, in my opinion. I'm sure.
I mean,
for some people,
anytime it was bad news. Anytime Uncle Sam wants to dip into your pocket, it's bad news. Like, we all should have known it was coming. Like, let's not act shocked that this is a thing. If you're making large sums of money, Uncle Sam's going to put out their fucking hand. And if you don't fucking appease him, he will come and grab you by the ankles and shake that change out of that pocket, motherfuckers. He's coming for you. All you Dogecoin, man, you better not TurboTax that shit this year, I'm telling you.
All right. Let's stay in some blockchain news here and go into, we got a first time really a classic comic cover has been sold as an NFT. We get the Fathom number one cover was sold this week for roughly $100,000 as an NFT. It was a single NFT launch. I mean, this is a 1998 cover of Fathom number one for a big dollar amount. So, is this going to be a move that we're going to see many of, the iconic covers and iconic older art just kind of getting repackaged up as a digital NFT and take advantage of it while it's hot? I mean, I imagine I would do that if I was any comic.
Michael Turner is a legend in comic covers. Like, I have a bunch of Turner covers. He passed away. His whole story is quite sad, actually. I miss Turner. He's done some great work. This is one of his more iconic covers that he did. And like, I don't necessarily know how I feel about this, because this, does the Turner estate get any of this? Is like he credited on any of it? I don't see that anywhere in the article. So like, is this a independent comic company cashing in on an artist who's passed away and has no way to defend his rights towards his own art? Like,
I mean, the only thing I could say is that the article says that a portion of the auction went to support Turner's favorite charities. Turner died of cancer, and it's going to cancer charities that Turner was a part of prior to his passing. So, I'm sure you're in the same boat as me as a skeptic of human goodwill when it says a portion of the auction. It's like, okay, well, I mean, really, you could give a dollar of that $100,000 to Make-A-Wish Foundation and call it a portion for the sake of this article. Hopefully it's a significant portion again.
Well, to me, like, that's all well and good, but his estate deserves a chunk of that. I'm not saying that the comic company can't make money or anything, but like, I don't know if this is just a quick cash grab because the artist is deceased. Like, if he was still alive, you best be right that artist would probably be on the phone with their lawyer first thing, making sure he got paid. But the fact that Turner, and like, it scares me because, like I said, I'm a huge Turner fan. Like you said, he died of cancer. This dude was on his deathbed drawing on an easel that was like suspended above him so he could lay in his bed while he was going through cancer treatments and still do covers.
Yeah.
Like, this is a dude who loved to draw, who has some of the most iconic covers. Like, I just hope that his name and his work isn't being taken advantage of. I'm all for the NFTs. You know what I mean? Like, it's the future. I see the benefit of, instead of like, so I own original prints that I've bought from artists and from at cons, like the actual page that artists have submitted to Marvel. Like, I own the physical page. This to me is kind of like the digital version of that. Like, you get to own the finished work that the comic company owns the rights to. So I get that. But the whole point of NFTs is making sure that creators always get a portion of their work. Like, that's the whole big thing about an NFT, is that if I print an NFT, I get paid every time it's sold. I get paid every time there's a transaction,
Yeah, who's getting that cut this time around? We'll see. I think, and if we're still incredibly early on how people are going to adopt to this NFT market. And
we might be doing a story on the Turner estate suing the shit out of some comic company.
But, we can talk about other uses for NFTs in our next article here. And this one's great. And it's the fact that YouTube or whoever, I guess, owns the rights to the classic video of Charlie Bit My Finger apparently was able to NFT the rights of that video and then put it up for auction, which it ended up selling for over $760,000.
It's fucking insane.
So that way somebody could buy that video to own it officially, to delete it and kill it from YouTube forever.
So, like, now because dude owns the rights, like, if anybody was to use it anywhere, like, is this like copyright thing? Like when when YouTube flags a song, like, and it says you can't use it because you don't own the rights and blah blah blah. Like, if Charlie bit me, like, I don't know. Like, this is what always interests me about NFTs is, like, how is this going to be enforced? How does this really work? Like, okay, dude owns it, but, like, this video has been out. Mad people have this downloaded. I promise you. Like, I promise you this video is not, like, for real dead, but people aren't going to be allowed to upload it or use the sound bites from it forever now. But how is that enforced? Who enforces that? Like, this is where it gets interesting.
I don't know. All I know is the family who actually, you know, owned that YouTube video or had it on their YouTube channel that originally put it up back in 2008. They're the ones who sold it and announced that they would pull it off of YouTube for whoever then ended up purchasing it. And again, it goes for $760,000.
Fucking insane. Every viral video right now is like scrambling. Like, everybody is scrambling right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
The I Like Turtles guy is fucking, he's going nuts right now to mint his fucking token. The little kid outside the carnival, you know, like there's so many old YouTube videos, like, people have grown up and nobody cares about them. Well, here you go.
Yeah.
Fucking Charlie bit my finger, got 800, almost 800 G's.
Those kids are now 17 and 15 years old. I guess they got college paid for.
Yeah.
Now, I guess that's a minimum. But yeah, well, pretty wild use of NFTs. Again, it just goes to show it's still just an absolute wild, wild west of NFT usage and adoption. And you know, there was talks of the NFT market kind of crashing. I guess not yet. Maybe it's not at the Beeple peak here, but it's not crashed yet.
It's a lot of fucking money for a goddamn YouTube video, bro. Like, it's alive and well. Like, if someone's paying $761,000, like, that's a lot of fucking money for a video I haven't even thought about in a decade.
Yeah, me either, but here we are. All right, let's just keep picking it up with more topics here. This one, I guess maybe we could have had this one in entertainment. We've got it here in tech. This is deepfake technology. There's some new deepfakes that have come out this week that have demonstrated the capability of using deepfakes to essentially seamlessly dub over existing videos. And, you know, anybody who's watched a dub foreign movie, like, I can't watch them. I physically just... I can't get more than 5 minutes into a movie that does not have the lips in sync with the audio. Like, I just can't do it. And, you know, this deepfake technology is taking whatever language you put in, whatever the actual output language that you're trying to get the video into, and it deepfakes so the audio and the lip movement is perfectly in sync with whatever voice you dub over with. And it looks pretty passable right now, which means 6 months from now, it's going to be perfect, right?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So what you just said kind of was like what I was thinking is that now we're going to have an entire generation of kids that don't know what the Police Academy, like, kung fu voices.
Yeah.
there's going to be an entire generation now on this planet that if you try to make the horrible dad joke and make your mouth move with no sound and then say something, they're not going to get it. It's going the way of the pager of the
that would be a gross misuse of deepfake technology if you go back and fix, like, Bruce Lee movies.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to get the joke anymore. Like, and it's going to happen eventually every movie. Cause like you said, you can't watch them. You know, like, I might start watching Spanish soap operas now. Like, you don't know, like, the minute everything gets translated and mixed up and you can, like, it opens a world of art to a lot of people that, you know, I'm not a dub fan though. I'm subtitles. I'm subs. Like,
yeah, but that's, yeah, but that's where you're talking about anime at that point. Like,
well, even like when I saw Parasite, like, if they were to dub Parasite, it would not work well. Like, no right. thanks.
It wouldn't offend me to have that just be in English and be, you know, dubbed over with good voice actors that are doing it in the language that I speak. That wouldn't offend me. And, you know, that's the direction it's heading. Even in this video, it showed, and we know deepfake technology isn't limited only to video. It also covers audio. And it has shown that, like, there was a portion in there where, like, De Niro, they translated his scene over into German, and it was supposedly
good.
Like perfect dialect German in his voice, and the lips in sync. He didn't speak that.
No.
But again, it's completely passable to think like nope, that's him, you know, dedicated to his craft to learn German. It's like,
well, so like, so now overdub actors are going to be a thing. Like, who can do the best German De Niro impression? Like, dude's gonna get paid
for now, right? But here soon it's not gonna be that hard to actually just replicate his voice.
This is also true. I was leaning on the side of how much money does a movie studio pay for Robert De Niro to go in a sound booth and read German lines for a day.
No, the technology for deepfake audio already exists. It's improving all the time, same as the video is. And I think it will not be very hard to take the English version, put in the German phrasing, and then it'll spit out in the right inflection with his voice, kind of a similar acting quality that he did in his
interview.
I don't think we're far off from that.
No.
And that's wild.
It like I said, man, this is all going to come to fruition and Something really bad's gonna happen. All because deepfake technology.
It really does.
It's only a matter of time. It's like this ticking time bomb. Like, people were worried about nukes and all kinds of stuff back in the '80s. Like, I am deathly afraid for the carnage that is gonna come from some weirdly deepfaked. Oh man, it's gonna be horrible.
I mean, it's definitely going to. To be interesting. And yeah, it's hard to not think of that, like, misuse when you look at it, like, oh, okay, well, the movie could dub into any language, any of this, any audio over it. It's like,
I can take North Korean propaganda right now, you know?
Like, for sure. Like, they just have videos. They can just put whatever Biden, they want of Joe Biden, yeah, saying whatever he wants whatever at a podium. And it's the real video of him at the podium. All they've done is just change what's actually coming out of his mouth.
He's just on some big old jumbotron saying nasty racist Asian jokes to North Korea right now.
But yeah, no, I think it's absolutely an easy kind of path into some of those things. And yeah, there's a real reckoning to be had on how to properly authenticate videos in the future.
Well, and like, we did the story about the cheerleading mom deep faking the rival cheerleaders onto a video.
Fighting. Yeah, or smoking or whatever.
Well, not just, and there was like sexual content on there too. So there was a big thing on whether she should be brought up for child pornography charges and stuff like that, because she it's getting to the point where it's that easy. Like, the amount of like revenge videos that are going to be made for people, like you think cancel culture is bad now? Wait till you don't even have to make a dumb tweet to get canceled. Like, wait till somebody just deep fakes you onto something and does it for you.
Oh, that's like a 2025 Mean Girls movie. That's coming.
Oh, it's in the chamber.
All right, but let's keep moving along here. We've got another article with Tesla, and this time, you know, the headline is talking about how Tesla's guilty of throttling charging speeds and is being asked to pay some restitution to owners of Teslas to the tune of like $16,000. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, that they're going to get paid.
What country was this in again? I forgot.
Norway.
Yeah, Norway. But if the fact that they could prove it, like, this is like them taking a page out of the iPhone book, like, just make their battery not charge as much, make their battery keep dying, they'll have to buy a new iPhone. So that's what they're going to do with their cars. Your car's just going to get less and less miles to the point where you're like, all right, fine, fuck it, I gotta buy a new Tesla.
Yeah.
I'm kind of actually surprised at this story. Like, he's moving more towards Luther. Like he's if he shaves his head real soon, I'm going to get really scared. He's already got too many satellites up there to be on some evil shit.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't seen a real reason. You know, was this obviously the argument is that it was intentional. It was intentional to cause this this significant drop. It came following some software updates, and the software updates went from.
That's how it always goes with the cell phones, man. That's how, yeah. Every time they fuck you with the cell phones. Like that's how they do it. And now it's just like, yeah, it's not this $1,000 little thing that you need in your life to get by. Now it's your goddamn car. Like, can you imagine if like you bought a car, like a Ford, and all of a sudden just like the gas tank just kept shrinking and like you just couldn't fill it up anymore. You just had to keep going and going and getting gas and getting gas. Like, I got to trade this truck in. I'm not getting the mileage I used to.
Well, at this point, we've got to wait and see. Tesla hasn't responded yet. Supposedly, in Norway, there were 30 owners that started this lawsuit, stating that they've proven that you know it was intentional by Tesla following software updates that took its range down significantly. And Tesla, I guess, has a couple weeks to respond, or that they will automatically be charged the $16,000 per person in this 30-person lawsuit, which then there's... Then that opens up the door for the 10,000 owners in Norway. So Tesla has to respond here in the next couple of weeks. So you know maybe that makes the news as well, and we get to see what the future is of Tesla's case against this.
Yeah, I mean, well, I want to hear a response. I gotta know. Like, I gotta know if I shouldn't have as much faith in this company as I have in the past years.
All right, and then let's move into a little bit. Of cyber attack news, and this one is just it's another scary one. You know, quickly go through this cyber attack against the Irish Health Services, and this is similar to what we've seen on a smaller scale with some of the health services here in the U.S. We talked about it a couple months ago, where it affected their billing and their booking capability, to where it really reduced their ability to just function, to just schedule people, to get labs done, to, you know, essentially had to go to like paper medical records and paper appointments, which obviously negatively impacts patients. The entire like Irish health service went through this in a ransomware attack this week, deemed as a catastrophic cyber attack against the Russian health industry.
Yeah, like the fact that they can kind of get access, like, I don't know if, there's something about being involved with health that just makes it feel so much worse than any time like any of your other data gets hacked. Like the fact that they're going after medical, it just like there's so much information there. Like it's
well,
like,
this isn't even attack against like the you know the information and the user information or health information out there for data purposes of selling data. Like I think at this point in time, like most of these cyber attacks have moved on from that. Right, I think they've realized that our data is pretty much worthless on the black market now because it's everywhere. And really, what we're seeing is now it's more about you know infrastructure and systems capabilities for ransomware against these companies. And in this you know, regard, they completely shut down the Irish health services by making it to where they couldn't access medical records, they could not access appointment systems, they could not do like any. Communication between systems. So, you know, it talks in this article about how, you know, in order to do like a simple blood draw for somebody who is sick and you're trying to diagnose them, now they're literally sending nurses with handwritten pieces of paper from the doctors out to the labs to have the labs process the blood to take the order. And then they have to do the processing and diagnosing outside of the systems because the systems are crippled. So it's decreasing accuracy in the diagnostic tests. It's having a significant effect both in just the kind of the customer service function of appointments and labs and stuff like that, but the actual diagnosis is actually affected as well.
One of my biggest fears of like getting seriously arrested for anything is when they book me and bring me into the jail and they tell me I get my one phone call, I won't remember one fucking phone number to call anybody, right? Like I've become so reliant on my little handheld technology that the only number I physically remember in my head is like grandma's phone from back in the day. Yes. Like the old Chicago phone number. Like that's the only phone number stuck in my head. This essentially is like that, but with all of medicine, which is fucking scary as shit. You know, because now you got a whole generation of nurses and doctors that have become so reliant on these devices that, like, now they have to do fractional math for medication and shit. And yeah, man, decimal places mean something. Like, you don't have that machine telling you, you know, just doing all that shit for you anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, the solution can't be to, like, make the doctors and stuff less reliant on the technology, because I don't want my doctors not using technology. You know what I mean? Like, that can't be the solution. So the solution has to be to just, like, governments and, you know, various organizations need to step in and truly protect these key elements of society. There's a lot of glaring holes. You know, this one's in Ireland, but it's very similar to ones that happen in the U.S. But, you know, because our health system is very kind of segregated by various networks and services, you know, when they got attacked, it was really just limited to just one health service.
Should say privatized. Our health service is privatized and horrible. Like, I get it. Like, so we are less open to a nationwide attack because it's every man for him fucking self out here, and, folks.
And our medical workers don't talk to each other between systems anyway. You know, it's all broken anyway. But yeah, no, it's just
score one thing for a shitty medical system, huh? Oh God, that's such a horrible way to look at it. But yeah, because they have privatized, or they have, you know, good public health system, that all that shit is tied into one network for the entire country and all its citizens. So when you hack that, then it's all. It's you know, it's not one subsection of a country. It's not one, like, small subset of group, or it's everybody. That's fucked up.
All right, well, let's move from that depressing topic to something that I find fascinating. This next one, we got a couple fun topics here at the back end, and some space. But this one, with the extra thumb being tested, is just awesome. So it's a small test. Only 36 people were tested, but essentially 36 people were provided an extra robotic third thumb on one hand, an extra opposable mechanical thumb just strapped to the outside of your pinky to your hand. And it was testing whether your body and your mind can really adapt to the extra appendage. And the fascinating answer is, yeah, actually, apparently pretty easily.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Your brain can make new kind of neural mapping of an extra appendage and just tie it in seamlessly to all the other things that you have going on in your body.
Like, you always had it.
You always had it. And, like, there's just images of this, like, silly plastic looking opposable thumb just, like, perfectly cradling a cup of coffee while maintaining, like, keeping the other thumb free. So it's like you could hold the cup of coffee with one thumb and still use your phone on the other thumb.
Well, you know where this technology is going. It's going straight to Tails. So, you know, like, this is all going to fetish stuff. Like, you're going to have fully operational tails. You're going to have elf ears that move. You're going to have antennas, alien antennas. You're going to have all kinds of these, like, fun.
I went super villain first. I went Dr. Octopus. I went full super villain.
I've been to too many conventions. I know this is getting nastily abused for cosplay. Like, it's you're going to have Warcraft nymphs with actual working tails. Like, you're like, man, it's gonna be, yeah, that's where I went with it. And I you know what, cool, like, everyone's wearing those, like, cat ear headphones in gamers, like, now. Like, people are gonna be out in the street and you're gonna look at someone and they're gonna bow, like, one little ear for you.
Yeah,
it's gonna be insane.
I could probably use an extra appendage somewhere. I'm sure I could. Yeah,
when I saw it strapped to their hand, I was like, "Do I need that? Like, am I?" Like, I started thinking about it, and I guess,
yeah.
Like, it's hard to imagine without actually having it. Like, I wonder. Like, I would like to talk to one of these people and be like, "So, would you find you can do now that you couldn't do before with a third thumb on a hand?" Like. Well, I don't know what I would need it for. I can't say that off the top of my head right now, but I'm sure within 24 hours of wearing it, I'd be like, "Holy shit, bro. Like look what I could do now." And then you'd be like, oop, instantly, I need more thumbs. Like, I justify that right in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm sure there's all kinds of ways that your body would adapt once you have it. And, you know, the interesting thing is, like, the article talks about how, you know, after the test was over, the participants, like, said they missed it. It felt like they lost a piece of their body. And I was thinking,
that's crazy.
What dickheads? They took it back?
Give someone x-ray vision for an hour and it's like, oh, I can't live like this. Like, you know, that's so, I mean, there's that, I don't know what the name of the syndrome is, but like, if, you know, for amputees and when they lose an arm, they still, their arm still itches.
Their phantom limb.
Yeah, the phantom limb syndrome. Like, that shit's real. Like, so I can only imagine, like, how your body can adapt to... But I wonder if it has to be, like, in your field of vision. You know what I mean? Like, because a thumb you can see, so your optics register it to your brain. Or is it, like, the minute your subconscious knows it has access to it, Like at one point, was he sitting there twiddling his third thumb without thinking about it?
I mean, eventually, probably, right? Like, you got to think, initially, you've got to be able to see it, or you've got to have some way to give the feedback to your brain what's happening. But yeah, after that, like, no, you probably don't need to see it move anymore. It just becomes a natural thing. Like, your body just anticipates, you know, you don't have the same... proprioception as the human body, but I'm sure you do gain some level of like awareness of it even when you're not seeing it anymore.
Yeah, I'm all for this. Like, I want more information on this. Like,
I just want to do it. How do you become a test? Like, why are there all these cool tests going on in the world that I've never?
Yeah, where do you sign up for this shit? Like, my Stu used to do taste tests, and that always fascinated me. Like, how'd you get that gig, man? He'd be like, nah, I just had to go today and try like 5 Gatorade flavors. I was like, man, you got paid to try 5 Gatorade flavors today? Like, yeah, man, I'll try to sign you up. And like, you would never, I don't know, they like, it's one of those things that it's hard to get into, but once you get in, they call you all the time. Like, and yeah, I just remember him going all the time to try new snacks and new candies. How do you get on the phantom limb fucking waiting list? Like, how does this thing work?
I don't know, but I feel like I should do some research, because I'll 100% put myself on the roster to do one of these things.
It's probably the same people that sign up to take random pills and just see if their pee burns. They just lucked out. 30 people lucked out. Instead of getting the diarrhea pill, they got a robot thumb for a week. And they're just like, oh, fuck you. This one's great. This is fucking great. Meanwhile, the guy behind him in the line's taking something that's making him urinate blood for a fucking week. trying to cure, like, gray hair.
Oh, well, I'm still signing up. I'll still go in the lottery.
I'll take the diarrhea pill for a chance at a robot thumb.
Let's do it. All right, let's move on. Let's get through this last little bit of just a couple quick little space articles. First, hey, Virgin Galactic got one step closer to some commercial flights. Virgin Galactic launched out of their New Mexico facility. Flew 55 miles above the Earth at Mach 3 speed. And,
fast.
So that's just, it's suborbital. So they're not in orbit. So they're still technically like flying through with propulsion, but going crazy fast.
crazy fast.
And able to see like the curvature of the Earth. They are technically in, you know, 55 miles above Earth. It's suborbital, but it's what's considered by like NASA and everybody that it is space. Like, they are in space at that time.
Why do I feel like Virgin Galactic? So like SpaceX has got like this straight line to space, right? They're like, we're just going straight to space. Eventually we're going to get to Mars. And then Blue Origin, same thing. We got a straight line to space, blah, blah, blah. And it feels like Virgin Galactic is just taking this winding ass fucking road to outer space. Just like every left and right turn, just cruising along like, hey, it's, you know, we'll get there eventually. Like,
it really just goes to show the difference in those crazy rich people who run those companies, right? Like, Elon has significant desires, you know, to spread humanity and start his little Elon colony on the on Mars. Bezos, he's trying to make money and further space exploration, commercialize space to a good degree. And then Richard Branson is just trying to have a good fucking time. Yeah, like that's all he's ever been trying to do. So he's not worried about shooting rockets up. No, he's still strapping this thing to a 747 and flying it as high as he can, like, and then ditching up.
They're still getting towed.
Yeah.
They're getting a tow.
He doesn't want to develop rockets. He's not trying to go anywhere far. He's just trying to get a good view for an hour. Like, that's all he's doing.
I just picture him, like, walking into a party and, like, Bezos and Elon looking over him like, oh, this guy's here. And he just walks in. Hey, Rocket Man, what's going on? Just like, who invited him to the space convention of five people total?
Yeah, so ultimately, all these companies are being, you know, pushed around by ultra-rich individuals, and Richard Branson is just there for the party. That's it. Not for the science, not for the exploration, not for human consciousness.
No.
For the views.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's just got an adrenaline addiction. He doesn't even care about space. He's just like, Mach 3? Fucking yeah. Fuck yeah. Let's do that. Let's fucking do that. Where can we do that at? Well, you kind of got to go really high in like orbit. And like, fuck yeah. Okay, yeah. Now I'm a spaceman. Fucking Mach 3. Let's do it.
But they're getting closer. One step closer to actually selling tickets to this thing.
Speaking of tickets.
Yeah, speaking of selling tickets, we talk about the tickets being sold for the, the New Shepard, Jeff Bezos' commercial flight. And then it got changed to an auction. And then it's a silent auction that's going to go until June. And then it's going to be an open bidding auction at whatever the price of the silent auction. Well, the silent auction has now reached at least $2.4 million for this one seat on the Blue Origin. So the auction is quite high at this point, and that's before it's, you know, in the open auction phase, which isn't set to take place until June 10th. And then on June 12th, the live auction ends. So there's still plenty of time for this to be bid up even higher. I really want to see who the hell is spending this money.
You're Insta famous the day you close on this ticket. Everyone's going to know who you are.
My favorite thing would be, say right now, is if it was Elon. And then he let it launch with that seat empty. I think that would be my favorite thing.
No, he's going to strap a Shiba Inu in there and send it to the moon. Fucking Doge. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm interested to see who actually wins this thing. Because like I said, there's going to be some faint. You get no anonymity when you get this seat.
No.
So, like, what celebrity wants to be known as the first, like, celebrity in space? That's basically what it is.
Yeah, for sure. And they're going to have to at least spend $2.4 million.
It's the E! Network. They're sending Kim Kardashian up there. it's the new season. They canceled their one show, and they're going to start another one from space.
Oh. And then last little bit of news. Should put this before, because this one's not as entertaining or funny to end on. This is like a real topic here.
We didn't end it on our lulls like we usually do.
Yeah. Space Force launching a billion-dollar satellite up to detect missile launches. And, yeah, this
sounds
is
an infrared... Sounds kind of necessity. Sounds...
This is Space Force doing what Space Force is supposed to do.
Kind of like thinking maybe like how did we already not have one of these up there? Like,
so
doesn't sound like crazy technology.
We do have ways to detect missile launches. This just improves it. And these are infrared satellites that launch to track heat signatures that missiles shoot. So, you know,
Kim Jong-un doing a
rocket launch. You always wonder, like, how do we know that he launched a rocket? Well, this is how, right? We're going to have satellites up in space that'll track heat signatures, and we will know the moment that a heat signature that matches a rocket is launched from picking bad guy country. we'll be watching.
Insert bad guy country here. Yeah, I just... When I read this, I was like, it seems kind of so like rudimentary that how do we not already have one of these up in space?
Yeah, like I said, I think we safely can assume that we do.
Like we've had satellites up there tracking hurricanes and all kinds of weather patterns for how long now? Like we didn't have one that can, like, I don't know. It just seems like this is almost low tech at this point.
Like, but it's up there now.
Good feel job. Safe at night.
Good job, Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. The Guardians of the Galaxy. I do love it.
They're the
salute
worst.
You, Space Force. Salute you. Man, like support your troops. Like this, they fall in the same category now. Like, you got to support the troops, bro. Even the space troops. You don't get to pick and choose.
Sure, we do.
It's just the troops. Except for Coast Guard. Fuck those guys.
Say until you get to the Coast Guard. All right. Well, that's it. That's news. 150 episodes. Done.
In the chamber.
And we'll just end with the
NFT, that shit.
Let's go ahead and just end with the quick kind of recommendation. You all go join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Take a listen, or join us for the conversations over there after you've listened to us here, and continue the conversations. Let's have a good time. Share some memes. Share some jokes. Do what people do on the internet.
Fight me Friday. I'll see you there.
With all that said, that's week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Don't forget to pay them taxes on that Dogecoin.
Buy the dip. Just kidding. Not financial advice. Goodbye.
Insert disclaimer.
All right. See ya.
See ya.